Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you for being here so early today. As we continue our series of meditations on the sacraments, today's topic is the sacrament of the sick, its real meaning. There's no sacrament among the seven sacraments, I would argue, regrettably more poorly understood in our time than the beautiful healing sacrament of the anointing of the sick. In a general audience talk, Pope Francis confirmed this belief that regrettably is and continues to be prevalent in our church. In his own inimitable style, Pope Francis said, and I quote, "But when someone is sick, we at times think, let's call for the priest to come. No, then he will bring bad luck. Let's not call him. Or we will scare the sick person." This is Pope Francis. Why do we think this? Because the idea is floating about that the undertakers arrive after the priest. And this is not true. The priest comes to help the sick or elderly person. That is why the priest's visit to the sick is so important. We ought to call the priest to the sick person's side and say, "Come, give him the anointing, bless him." If it is Jesus himself who comes to relieve the sick person, to give him strength, to give him hope, to give him and also to forgive his sins. And the Pope concludes, and this is very beautiful. This sacrament, after all, is intended to strengthen and confer a special grace on those being treated by illness, a population that Jesus was consistently attracted to like a magnet in a public way in his public ministry. As I've been saying in my weekday homilies during ordinary time, there are two functions of Jesus' public ministry. One is healing and one is teaching. And as we read yesterday again, the scripture text is replete with stories of Jesus' healing message. And this is one way that his ministry continues. In this sacrament, Jesus' healing ministry, indeed his preferential ministry for the sick, continues in our day. Jesus has often been portrayed, after all, as the divine physician, and moreover, also sent his disciples to heal the sick. Thus, Jesus did not only send his disciples to heal the sick, he also instituted a specific sacrament for them, the anointing of the sick. The letter of James attests to the presence of this sacramental sign in the early Christian community. This sacred anointing of the sick was instituted by Christ, our Lord, as a true and proper sacrament of the New Testament. It is alluded to, indeed, by St. Mark as well, but is recommitted to the faithful and promulgated by James the Apostle and the brother of the Lord, Catechism 1511. In the letter of James, we hear the question and command, "Is any among you sick? Let him come for the presbyters of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick man, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." This is the biblical foundation, James 5, 14 to 15, of the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. Since coming to this large and thriving suburban parish of Little Flower at Bethesda a number of years ago, a parish that includes many seniors in addition to young families, I've been reintroduced as a priest to this beautiful sacrament in so many different circumstances. Individuals seriously ill, dying in the hospital, sick at home, terminally ill, those preparing for serious surgery. The requests have come during the day and in the middle of the night. Regardless of the time, it is truly an opportunity to be present sacramentally at a most important time in a person's life. It is a sacrament that hopefully will be rediscovered in our day. Importantly, it is up to each faithful Catholic to call the priest if a person is seriously ill or near death or suffering the difficulties of old age or about to have serious surgery. It is, in my way of thinking, truly a way of evangelization. So much of what takes place in that sacrament and those around the bedside or in the rectory or wherever is really a form of evangelization. Formerly, the sacrament was popularly referred to as extreme unction. In fact, I went into the hospital a couple years ago and the person was dying and wasn't expecting me and said, "Is this extreme unction?" And I had a nice way to say, "No, that's old-fashioned, and you're not old-fashioned." It was practically considered a deathbed sacrament. A family member would typically call a priest when a loved one or family member was near death. Understood today, the anointing of the sick can be administered at various moments in a person's life. Importantly, it is not a sacrament for those only who are at the point of death. Hence, as soon as any one of the faithful begins to be in danger of death from sickness or of old age, the fitting time for him to receive the sacrament has certainly already arrived. It is also fitting to receive the anointing of the sick just prior to a serious operation. The same holds for the elderly whose frailty becomes more pronounced. Catechism 15:14-15. In addition, if during the same illness the person's condition becomes more serious, the sacrament may be repeated. Catechism 15:15. In fact, in addition to prayers for those in extreme illness or advanced age, the rites of anointing include a specific prayer before surgery, where prayers are also directed for the surgeon. I used this prayer some time ago for a young person in the parish just prior to the time of his surgery. We pray that through the skills of surgeons, that's what the text says, and nurses, your healing gifts may be granted to that person. The young person happily recovered and is now in high school. This holy sacramental anointing can be given at home, at church, in a hospital, or a nursing home. Only a priest or bishop, however, may administer this sacrament using blessed oil by the bishop at the Chrism Mass annually during Holy Week. The anointing includes the forehead and hands of the sick person, along with the liturgical prayer of the celebrant of the sacrament. The hoped-for effect is that the person will be physically healed if it's God's will. At its heart, however, even if the desired healing does not take effect, a more radical healing does. The victory over sin and death through the Passover, Catechism 1505. The Catechism speaks at length about the various effects of this sacrament. Each sacrament, as we know, has special, specific graces. This is the book that the priest uses, and this is the language for the anointing. The priest anoints the sick person with the blessed oil. He anoints first the forehead, saying, "Through this holy anointing, may the Lord in his love and mercy help you with the grace of the Holy Spirit," and then anoints the forehead. And then asks them to open the hands. "May the Lord who frees you from sin save you and raise you up." And then he anoints the hands. Now, what are the consequences? The first grace of the sacrament of the anointing of the sick is the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is a grace that strengthens and gives peace and courage to assist a person in overcoming the condition of serious illness or the frailty of old age. Catechism 15:20 says, "This grace is a gift of the Holy Spirit who renews trust and faith in God and strengthens against the temptation to discouragement and anguish in the face of death. Furthermore, 1520 of the Catechism, if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. If the person was unable to receive the sacrament of the penance, for this latter effect, the importance of the priest as celebrant of this sacrament is underscored. There's also a second grace of uniting the sick person more closely to Christ's passion, and thus in a certain way he is consecrated to bear fruit by configuration to the Savior's redemptive passion. A deeper understanding of suffering hopefully takes hold in the sick person. Through the sacrament, importantly, a person actually shares in the redemptive suffering of Christ. Suffering, a consequence of original sin, acquires a new meaning. It becomes a participation in the saving work of Jesus Christ. Again, Catechism 1521. St. Paul teaches that the sufferings we endure can complete what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of the body, that is his church, Colossians 1:24. There is a third grace that comes from this sacrament called an ecclesial grace, a grace for the church. Ecclesia means church. By celebrating this sacrament, the church in the communion of saints intercedes for the benefit of the sick person, and he, for his part, through the grace of this sacrament, contributes to the sanctification of the church and to the good of all men and women for whom the church suffers and offers himself through Christ to God the Father. Catechism 1522. Finally, and the fourth, this sacrament, when celebrated for those departing this life, completes our conformity to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ as baptism began it. This last anointing fortifies the end of our earthly life like a solid rampart for the final struggles before entering the Father's house. The Eucharist, called Viaticum, can also be received at this time. The Eucharist is understood here as the sacrament of the passing over from death to life, from the world to the Father. Pope Benedict reminded us that on their journey to the Father, communion in the body and blood of Christ appears as the seed, this is real Benedict, of eternal life and the power of the resurrection. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Again, going back to James. Since Viaticum, which is food for the way, gives the sick a glimpse of the fullness of the Paschal mystery, its administration should be readily provided for. Attentive pastoral care shown to those who are ill brings great spiritual benefit to the entire community, since for whatever we do to one of the least of our brothers and sisters, we do it to Jesus himself. In summary, the gifts of this sacrament include uniting the sick person with Christ's passion for the person's well-being and that of the church, strength to endure patiently the sufferings of illness and old age, the forgiveness of sins if the person were unable to receive the sacrament of penance, and preparation for the passage to eternal life. The anointing of the sick is a beautiful sacramental encounter with Christ. It takes place at a special time in one's life when such an encounter clearly enables one to be uniquely joined to him who out of love suffered and died for each of us. To conclude, in the words of Pope Francis, speaking of the true comfort that results from the reception of the anointing, he says, and I quote, "But the greatest comfort comes from the fact that it is the Lord Jesus himself, who makes himself present in the sacrament, who takes us by the hand, who caresses us as he did with the sick, and who reminds us that we already belong to him and that nothing, not even evil and death, can ever separate us from him. That was the general audience talk, February 26, 2014. Today's talk is a little briefer than most. It's a brief sacrament, but I think I've tried to include everything. Our next meeting will be March 2nd, Penance, the Joy of the Healing Sacrament. And then on Holy Thursday, by divine providence, the topic will be on the Eucharist. That just happened, and I didn't plan that. So hopefully this has been at least a little bit of help to you. I give this thank you, Matt, for taping this so the people in bed can hear it. But thank you all for being